There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Tom, Mark, Ross, all down here at Barasti for this afternoon's grill. We've got some special guests coming your way in just a few moments' time. And a quick reminder that we've just seen a pillar to post victory down the road in Abu Dhabi. The Irishman Shane Lowry will see his name engraved onto the trophy down there in Abu Dhabi. So well done to he. An impressive performance, Mark Archer.
Yeah, fantastic. Wire-to-wire win. He was under pressure today, but he set his week up by that 10 under par round on the first day of 62. What a round it was. He hung on today. He had to go through some trials and tribulations, but he fought back and made the birdie on the last hole, which was enough to give him a one-shot win. 18 under par. Shane Lowry will be engraved as your 2019 Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by EGA. His name will be on the Falcon Trophy. And a brave effort by the South African today, Richard Sterney, who just fell short in the end, 17 under par. But I give a quick leaderboard, Tom, just to wrap up the day. Shane Lowry is your winner at 18 under par. One shot back to Richard Sterney at 17 under par. In third, the Dutchman, Jos Luiten, with a great round today of 65. One of the low rounds of the day, 7 under par for him. He's finished at 15 under par in third. Louis Oosthuizen, the South African, had another great round, 6 under par for his round today of 66. He's finished at 14 under par. And Søren Kjeldsen, the man from Denmark, has finished at 13 under par. So Shane Lowry, Richard Sterney, Jos Luiten, Louis Oosthuizen, and Søren Kjeldsen. That is the top five of the completed result from the 2019 Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship.
Action underway in the rugby. Cardiff Blues just kicked off against Lyon. No score in that one. Sarries lead Glasgow Warriors by 10 points to 5. Those are the two games that are underway in the European Champions Cup. Couple of games also underway in the European Challenge Cup at the moment. Worcester Warriors taking on Stade Francais. A converted try apiece for those. 7 apiece. Poe against Ospreys also underway in Pool 2. No score in that one. Let's go over to South Africa, get a quick update from the cricket. Mark Archer?
Yeah, South Africa batting first in their one-day international against Pakistan. They currently completed 34 of their 50 overs, 157 for one. Hashim Amla, 68, not out. The man at the crease with him is on debut, Rassie van der Dusen. Watch out for this man. He is currently 40 not out. Good partnership for the second wicket between these two. And it's currently, 16 overs remaining in the South African in the Proteas innings, 157 for one.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Yeah, you're listening to The Grill. We're live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Do keep your thoughts coming in to us. Text them to us on 4001, or better still, come on down here to Barasti and join us. Half time in the Premier League. Early kickoff down there. Wolves against Leicester. It is Wolves with that two-goal advantage. Ross Chris has got your US sport wrap.
Yeah, going back to the ice hockey, the Red Wings beat the Flames in Calgary. Red Wings fell to the Flames in Calgary 6-4. High-scoring game there. 10 goals in an NHL game. That is simply amazing. My hometown Pittsburgh Penguins defeated the Arizona Coyotes. Kessel scores in overtime. Phil the Thrill Kessel. Get that man a hot dog. He scored in overtime. The Penguins beat the Coyotes 3-2. The Buffalo Sabres fell to the Vancouver Canucks 4-3 up in Western Canada. Big game out there. Then, turning our attention to local ice, earlier in the week, the Dubai Mighty Camels defeated crosstown rival Dubai Vipers 8-4. I got to actually go to this game and announce it. It was played at the Dubai Mall. I think we had the game a couple nights back around 8:30. If you haven't been to the Emirates Hockey League games, you should really, really check them out. And the man behind the vision, I guess, the games, the league, the standings, the fans, well, he joins us now on the show, Mr. Vladimir Burton. Vladimir, thanks for coming back on the show, buddy.
Yeah, this is my second visit. Thank you very much.
This is your second visit. We're forging a friendship stronger than Putin and Trump's, I would say. But
it can be stronger.
it can be stronger. Yeah. So last year you came on the show, and you were the president of the Dubai Mighty Camels, and I see you wearing the hat proud. I take it the season ended up well for you last year?
We won the season last year. Correct.
You did win the season, and you're the man. Kind of you're the man in the background, if you will. You help out a little bit with the advertising. You help out with the social media. You kind of help out. You help out the boys with whatever they need on the bench. I mean, you're a jack of all trades for the Mighty Camels, wouldn't you say?
True. Yeah, I'm part of the management of the team itself.
But not only that, this year you even took it one step further, and you're not only helping the Camels, you're helping the league. You're putting on your league hat as well. You're now the president of the Emirates Hockey League.
Yes, that's true as well. That's from 1st of November 2018. I'm not only the manager of the Camels, so I'm the president of the National Hockey League, the Emirates Hockey League.
And that's where I just want to start with now, because I've gotten to come to a game now. I've gotten to see it now twice in action, and it makes me feel like I'm back at home. Like, we have a live rink.
It's fun.
It's amazing. We have a live rink. We have fans. We have good players, a good standard of hockey. We have referees. We have a DJ. Yep. We had an announcer the last game. You know, we had the whole nine yards. So, if you know, how did the Emirates Hockey League start and where it's got today, basically?
Basically, the Emirates Hockey League is established in 2009. So we have an anniversary of 10 years next year, and I hope we will celebrate it bigger. So for us, it's a bit difficult because we don't have enough arenas and we don't have enough people to know about us. But I hope the local media will support us. So we'll do everything about it. So, but in general, the statistics says that we have 15,000 people watching us live in Dubai Mall. But the point is, like, 99.6% out of these people, they've never seen hockey in their life.
Yeah,
this is fun.
I could tell when I was at the game. Some people come by the ice and they stare at the ice, but they're not sure what exactly they're watching.
They don't even know what they're looking for.
And how many teams do we have in the league this year?
So actually, this year we have only 5 teams in the league, and we have 2 teams from Alain, 2 teams from Dubai. Sorry, 1 team from Alain, 2 teams from Abu Dhabi, and 2 teams from Dubai.
And I was very impressed with the standard and quality of the play. I mean, a lot of these guys played in college. A lot of these guys played juniors. A lot of these guys even played a bit of professional hockey before joining the top lines.
Yeah, the league level is quite high because also the level of the league shows, like, the national team went to the GCC Cup and they won it, like, straight ahead without any problems. So all locals are playing in Abu Dhabi and Alain. And it's very easy for them to go higher standards in the GCC or even in Asia, because they play with Canadians, North Americans, Russians, Europeans, Swedish, Finnish guys. We have a lot of European guys playing in the league, Canadians and North Americans.
And there's lower levels as well. If I'm not mistaken, if you wanted to play kind of, you know, just pick up hockey, or maybe you're trying to get into hockey, Emirates Hockey League offers something for beginner level players as well?
Yeah, we have, let's say the EHL is a national league, which is between all the cities in the UAE, because some people maybe don't know we have an ice in Abu Dhabi and Alain as well. So, but there is a Dubai league, which is called the Mighty Camels League. There is Abu Dhabi League and there is Alain League. And in Dubai League, we have 10 teams playing. The people call it night hockey. So, like, normally games are later evening, like 8:30, 10 o'clock, 10:15 evening. So this is a quite late for normal human being, but for the hockey, is normal.
Yeah, I remember all my hockey buddies. They're night owls, because you have to. You always hear the word ice time, and you have everyone's fighting for ice time, because you have the figure skaters, you have the free ice, you have the hockey players that want the ice, and there's only 24 hours in a day.
That's only 24 hours, correct?
And so you have to manage a team, and now you manage the league. Is it hard for you to put away the Mighty Camels hat, then pick up your league hat as well?
Hey, yeah, honestly, somehow that, you know, you should divide the personal relationship with the business now. So the Emirates Hockey League is a business. So it's a professional career of me, and I have to keep my professional way of doing the things correct. But as I said, for me, position in Emirates Hockey League is been same almost as was position in the Mighty Camels. I was really not touching, I always want to say fighters, not fighters, but players. I didn't really touch the hockey players, and I didn't touch the practice, ice time, who is playing, who is coaching, who is the captain. So I never involved with that. So in general, my main passion is marketing, advertising, sponsorship, team organizing, so big things which is close to the hockey, which is called the business itself.
You mentioned the word business there a couple of times. What do you envision for the Hockey League going forward? Where would you like to see the league go from here?
Honestly, I strongly believe that from the Emirates Hockey League, we will grow to GCC League very easy, because we already have really strong requests from countries like Oman, Saudi Arabia. It's fun, but they have a league, they have a team. So they're growing in this way, and I think even later on from GCC Countries League, we can easily grow to the Asian League.
And if you're sitting here listening on the radio and you're thinking, oh, I just moved out here to Dubai, or I just moved out here to the UAE, and I moved here from Russia, I moved here from North America, and I used to skate a little bit, and I still got the stick. Are you looking for players in this league right now?
We're always looking for players. Guys, we're always looking for new blood.
New
and
blood.
It doesn't matter which level you play.
Perfect, because I got two guys.
Yeah,
next
I got them
to me.
All. Yeah,
we can get them out there. We can do a
sure.
little rock 'em, sock 'em.
And they could definitely play immediately in the highest level. So after the first hit, they will never want to play back again.
I can't grow facial hair, so I don't think I can play. I can't do it. Can't do it. And I have enough trouble staying on my own two feet on terra firma, let alone on the ice as well.
You know what is good from hockey compared with the soccer? So you don't need really the hairstyle. So you have a helmet to cover. So
You know what? I would be really keen to play. But you know when you go skating and you have those little penguins that you push around?
Yeah, sure.
If I could play If I could play with one of them and a big stick, I'd be fine.
You can take it even home. Just put deposit for it and take it home.
And where are we right now? Where are we right now in the season? Are we halfway through the season, beginning of the season?
No, we are almost ending the season. Okay. So the playoffs will begin in 17th of February. So they will be again in one of the three ice skates according to our finishing. So our season is quite short this year as well. So we always play from October to February. So end of the February, we will have the playoffs. And this is will be only 3 weeks because we play two best of three games. So we have only five teams. Four of them will go to the final stage of the playoffs. But, you know, as being on top of the EHL, so I'm trying to help people get easy information about it. So find us in Instagram and Facebook, which is called Emirates Hockey. So we try to make it short because Emirates Ice Hockey League is too long. So we go to Emirates Hockey, which is shorter. So if you can find an Emirates Hockey on Instagram and Facebook, we have an event which we settled till end of the season, and you can always see how many, where we play, what time, who is playing, and also we start to put final scores on Instagram now. So we are in the points track still, but our website is not ready yet, so we are still doing it, and I think you guys will be part of it as well, so I would love to you be part of it. So we are always looking for local media supports and all, so this will be very interesting for us. But just go Emirates Hockey and you will find us.
Emirates Hockey, of course, we'll be putting that up on our social media channels as well throughout the show. So we'll get you some looks there. Do you keep an eye on what's happening back in the KHL? Do you keep an eye on anything happening in the NHL?
Yeah, definitely. And just a week ago, we had the last year champions of KHL. They came here and they gave us a jersey with the whole team signs for the Emirates Hockey. And we have a lot of attention from the KHL, I'll be honest with you, because all the Russian media are saying that United Arab Emirates want to be a part of KHL in the next 5 years. I said, you know, guys, 5 years is too long period, so we plan to win NHL in 7 years.
There you go. Put Russia and the United States bidding
so
against
Russian,
each other.
Russian for, pranks right? doing job in United Arab Emirates. The Dubai Mighty Camels will win an NHL in the next 7 years. Just bet me.
There you go. Well, I mean, if they can play basketball games in London, certainly they can do hockey games, NHL games out here in the desert. It'd be interesting to see, because I will stress this to the viewers. I've grown up with hockey. I'm a big hockey fan. I've got to watch four Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh growing up. So I've seen quite a high standard of hockey, and I am so impressed at the level of play from the top league here, out here for the Emirates Hockey League. I mean, I was really wowed when I was behind the boards there. Some of these guys can really skate. Some of these guys can score some goals. I mean, the man right now we have behind the camera had two assists. I butchered his name a couple nights back. Dmytro Budatenko from the Ukraine coming out with two assists for the Mighty Camels with their big win over the Vipers going 8-4. But it is a high quality caliber of hockey, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, in general, everybody says like we have a quite high standard of amateur hockey. So we are not fully pro because we don't play full contact yet. So I think we'll shift on it maybe next, not next season, but season after. But the good thing is from the next season, we are looking for the full coverage from the local TV. So we already tried it for the President Cup in Abu Dhabi, and I think we will be fully covered from Abu Dhabi Sports and Dubai Sports for the next season.
And when is the next game at the Dubai Mall? What you said, you mentioned.
So we have a game in Dubai Mall, then Monday we have a game in Al-Ain, and Wednesday we have a game in Abu Dhabi.
All right, so if you're listening in any part of the country, you could go watch an ice hockey game.
Yeah, you can
this
go
week.
Watch. And I always say the entrance is free. Guys, just come, enjoy your life.
Yes, and the game this week at Dubai Mall, Dubai Vipers going against the Dubai Mighty Camels
again.
And that will be on Monday night.
It's a Sunday night, 8:30 p.m.
8:30, that's when the puck drops. So if you're listening at home, you have nothing to do, make sure you get yourself to the Dubai Mall. It is something to see, definitely. It's a full production. For those of those listening at home, maybe they want to get involved with the league. Maybe they want to follow you on Instagram. Maybe they want to, you know, maybe sponsorship, something involved. What's the best way to get in, throw everything else back out there to our listeners?
Just contact us through the social media. First of all, that, as I said, Emirates Hockey is our social media. And you can always send us a text message, Instagram message, whatever you can. And our phones are everywhere, so you can find us very easy.
I can attest to that. Vlad is very active on social media. In fact, out of all my friends on social media, I'd say you are probably one of the most active, and that says something because I'm quite active myself. But thank you for coming.
But could you believe my promoters are complaining that I'm not doing enough?
I think you do quite enough, and I really, really do appreciate taking the time to come out here on the show. He is the president of the Emirates Hockey League. He's also the manager of the Dubai Mighty Camels, the 2018 champions of the Emirates Hockey League. They're looking to repeat again this year. Let's see if they can do it this week. Come on out to the Dubai Mall. Puck drops Monday night, Sunday night, 8:30, going against crosstown rivals, Dubai Vipers. Look out for number 23, Sam Goodwin. That guy can skate for the Dubai Vipers.
The guy is a first year, so I think he's one of the best forwards. He's young.
He's 30 years old, and he's from the U.S. of A. I got to chat with him after the game. Yeah. Simply a phenomenal skater. Really, really good.
The guy's really good,
So thank you very much, Vlad, for coming out on the show. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys, for inviting. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you listen to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasta, where the game is always on. Stay tuned. Short break. Back with more sports right after that.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Let's get down to the action. It's Wolves against Leicester in the Premier League. Mark Archer.
It was 2-0 to Wolves at half time. It was a mid-table tussle this time. It's Wolves in eighth taking on Leicester in ninth, and they did burst into a quick lead in the first half. Goal to Jota, 1-0 that was, and then after 12 minutes a header by Ryan Bennett doubled the score to 2-0. That's how it was at half time. But Leicester City have struck back quickly after the break, and it was Damari Gray with a fine solo run and finish, which means that after 5 minutes of the second half of this Premier League clash, the early kickoff today, it's Wolves 2, Leicester City 1.
Let's keep an eye on that one for you, as we will, of course, all the other sport that is doing the rounds at the moment. We've got a bit of UFC later on, is that right?
Yeah, we do. It's going to be UFC Fight Night. This is going to be in Brooklyn. It's going to be TJ Dillashaw going against Cejudo, and he's coming for Cejudo's belt. So this will be a big one, as we have another goal.
Extraordinary game, this one. Wolverhampton Wanderers bossing it in the first half. What everyone said to Leicester during the break time seems to have worked. Mark Archer, another goal.
Yeah, there is indeed. It's 2-2, and I can't quite tell you the goal scorer yet, but I'll bring you in a moment. It's a fine run, and it's a defensive mistake, but it's a massive finish. It could even be Jamie Vardy, who has crashed at home. No, it's definitely not Jamie Vardy. Tom, can you tell me who the goal scorer is there? Number 19 for Leicester City. May have come on as a substitute at halftime. It's a wicked deflection. It's actually gone between the legs of a Wolves defender, taking a double deflection, and it's bursting past the keeper there. So we'll bring in the goalkeeper shortly, but I can tell you, 6 minutes gone in the second half. It was 2-0 to Wolves at halftime.
Barnes.
It's now Wolves 2, Leicester City 2, and it was Barnes with the equalising goal for Leicester. So game on now. Plenty of time in this match still. Only 6 minutes gone in the second half. Wolves 2, Leicester City 2.
UFC.
Yeah, we'll get to the UFC. I just want to throw this one back out to the listeners, back out to you, back out to Tom and Arch. Anyone, get in touch with us at 4001 or tweet us at Dubai Eye Sport. I've played with David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Ashley Young, Patrick Vieira, Sol Campbell, Aaron Ramsey, Michael Owen, Steven Gerrard, Mo Salah. Who am I? I'll be announcing this one at 7 o'clock, Tom. I'm going to be coming to you. I hope you figured this one out. But
I'm stuck.
You're stuck on this
it.
One, yeah. Are you? Yeah. Okay. Well, we have the UFC Bantamweight Championship going on. It's going to be TJ Dillashaw going against Cejudo. This will be at Fight Night Brooklyn. This will be a very, very fun fight, contested fight. Both these guys are very accomplished fighters. But TJ Dillashaw had to drop 29 pounds to get to this weight. So this will be a real exciting one in the lightweight bantamweight class. So Dana White teaming up with ESPN. They have now signed an exclusive contract deal with ESPN. So this fight will be on ESPN. Both these fighters have already made their weight. So right now they're back eating and drinking and putting on all the weight that they just lost right before the big fight.
We'll have more for that one on you a little later on. I want to go to the cricket, though, because there's all sorts of stories doing the rounds in the world of cricket. There's live cricket at the moment. There's warm-up cricket down in the West Indies. And, of course, a series has been won in the last 24 hours.
There has indeed. Let me bring you a live update. One Day International. It's the first ODI taking place in Port Elizabeth in South Africa. It's the Proteas hosting Pakistan in the first of a five-match ODI series. South Africa, of course, very comfortable in their Test Series victory against Pakistan, but can Pakistan fight back in the white ball form of the game? I can tell you, in this first ODI, South Africa won the toss, have elected to bat first, have made a bright and breezy start. Plenty of wickets in hand. They have batted 39 of their 50 overs, and are currently 186 for one. Hashim Amla, 78 not out off 92 delivery, 6 fours for the man from South Africa, the opening batsman. And he's been joined by debutant Rassie van der Dussen, currently 59 not out on debut off 75 deliveries, 5 fours and 1 six. So it's a great partnership between the two of them. 186 for one after 39.1 of their 50 overs. Tom, staying with one day cricket, let's just talk quickly about the Indian Australian series, which was clinched yesterday by India in the third ODI in Melbourne. Exciting 7-wicket victory with only 4 balls remaining for India to win that series 2-1. Just to give you a score update, Australia 230 all out in 48.4 overs, but India, well, had plenty of wickets in hand, but only a couple of balls into the last over, 234 for 3. MS Dhoni, he just keeps ticking over the runs, 87 not out. He used all his experience to lead the chase there for the victory. And Yuvendra Jadhav on 61 not out as well. So India win the series 2-1. They now head to New Zealand, which will be a great series. 5 ODIs in 3 T20 matches. After the match, though, the Indian captain Virat Kohli and the Australian coach Justin Langer, this is what they had to say about, well, the form of MS Dhoni.
Not really. We have not discussed. I mean, he batted number 4 in 2016 for a while, if I'm not wrong. But after that, I think he's been pretty happy playing at 5 and 6 for the team. I personally feel number 5 is the best suited spot for him, because that allows him to do a bit of both. You know, get some game time as well as finish games off and, you know, attack as and when required. So I personally, and the management that we the things that we discussed, we felt number 5 was the ideal position for him. And if you saw him bat in Adelaide as well, he was pretty comfortable in that position, and he was, you know, more himself in that game. And from then on, he built onto this knock today. So yeah, we're pretty happy with, as I said, the batting combination that we had in Adelaide. Depending upon, again, you know, when someone like Harvick's not in the team, you have to strike balance somehow. So a lot of things vary in that regard, but we as team management and myself as captain, the things that we discussed, I think MS at 5 is the most logical and the ideal place for him and the team as well. Well, I think firstly, as a team, we're very happy for MS. We're very happy that he's amongst the runs, because it's very important to get runs under your belt to, you know, get that rhythm and get that confidence back, especially when you're not playing so much international cricket. So from that point of view, I think it's a great thing for the team that he's come here and he's scored in all 3 games. And we feel that he will definitely build on this performance in this series from here on in New Zealand and back home as well. He'll feel pretty confident about his rhythm as a batsman, and Every batsman needs that, whether it's a club game or an international game. You need runs, you know, next to your name to gain confidence. So from that point of view, I think as a team, we are very happy. But more than anything, he must be very happy and, you know, very pleased that he's amongst the runs and he's feeling confident about his game again, which is very important for a batsman. So, look, many things happen on the outside. People say a lot of things, but as an individual, we know that there's been no one more committed to Indian cricket than MS Dhoni, and I think people should let him have his space. And, you know, because he's contributed so much for the nation, they should just let him figure out things on his own about his game and what he needs to do. I mean, he's been one of the most intelligent cricketers. He's not someone who's not aware what needs to be done. So as a team, we are totally in sync and very happy with what he's doing, and we're all very happy for him.
Well, I'll tell you what I know about MS Dhoni. He's 37 years old. He's running between wickets. He's elite. His fitness is elite at 37 years old. And we'll be talking about that in our change room tonight. If MS Dhoni can come out here and run between wickets like he does and wicket keep for 50 overs, that's the level that the whole world should be aspiring to, and certainly what we'll be aspiring to. I mean, for him to run between the wickets like he did for 3 days in a row, it was 40 degrees the other day too, and to play like he has, you know, that's why he's a superstar of the game. And that's what all our players should be aspiring to, be superstars of the game. They've got the opportunity when they play international cricket, and MS Dhoni, like Virat throughout the whole summer, like Pujara in the Test Series, they give us a really great role models for what we should be aspiring to. And MS Dhoni, I mean, his record, everything speaks for itself. He's, you know, as a captain, as a player, as a wicketkeeper, his record speaks for itself. He is literally an all-time great of the game, and it's been as hard as it is to lose, it's a privilege to play against those guys, or for our young blokes. And I'll be amazed if they don't learn a lot from playing against the guys they've played this summer.
Is he 37?
37, mate. Almost as old as you.
it's extraordinary, isn't it? Because he just keeps delivering.
Ageless, and he's been doing it for well over a decade now. And he's so good under clutch situations. A bit like Virat Kohli is, when the run chase comes on, when you're batting under pressure, under scoreboard pressure, he continually comes up with the goods and wins matches. And those places, as Justin Langer was saying, are just precious. He's an elite fitness. You know, he's still playing. He's wicketkeeping for 50 overs, and he's batting at number 5. So often he has to come in, and he's probably got 30, 40, you know, 30, 35 overs to try and build innings and then get the team home. And he did that in that third ODI yesterday in Melbourne. Clutch situation, 1-1 in the series, everything to play for, and who steps up to the plate? MS Dhoni, 87 not out, top scored, so leaving a lot of younger men in his wake. But what a player, what a good role model. And it will be a shame when, not too far away, maybe after the World Cup, he might hang up his international gloves and go and sail off into the IPL sunset.
Concern for the Aussies, do you think? I mean, they competed in that first game, didn't they? But they haven't really come to the party. I'm just having a look at their scorecard from last night. You know, and apart from Hanscom, there's a couple of starts in there for Marsh and Khawaja, but no one really going on.
They're just kind of treading water, aren't they, the Aussies? They're trying to treading water to see what happens with when David Warner comes back. Does Steve Smith come back into the team? His return to cricket's been delayed with a I think an elbow injury, an operation. And that's what they just seem to be lacking. They just lack experience. They lack batsmen who are going on and getting big scores. There's been a definite deficit in them scoring hundreds. There hasn't been a lot of Australian hundreds for a long time now. And who are the batsmen that step up? You know, Aaron Finch has been the guy. He's been struggling for form. So they've just really battled across the board. They did play well in that first ODI, but have been pretty well outplayed in the last 2 1-day internationals. I'm looking forward to that next series, though. India versus New Zealand in New Zealand will be fascinating, because the Kiwis are in pretty good form. Small grounds, high scores. There should be some interesting matches between those teams, who match up quite well in New Zealand conditions. New Zealand with a decent, pretty experienced core of players now, the likes of Kane Williamson, the likes of Tim Southee, you know, these guys have been around a while. Trent Bolt, they'll be useful in the Kiwi condition. So looking forward to that. And then again, all the teams really are just trying to find their combinations. Who's the final personnel that they want to take to the UK for that World Cup? One of the big discussion points came up with by Brad Hodge, the former Australian batsman. This is what Brad Hodge had to say about trying to figure out the combinations and who is going to be the Australian spinners before they go off that World Cup later this year.
What they need to do is get the side in order and understand which spinner they're going to choose, whether that's Nathan Lyon or Adam Zampa or another one to come in. I think that's something which is a huge importance to understand that who's going to be our prime spinner, and we probably need to get a second spinner into that lineup. So that needs to be an importance for our team.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Cracking start to the Premier League coverage here this afternoon. It's on the big screen down here at Barasti. It's Wolves entertaining Leicester, and there have been goals. There's been another one. Mark Archer.
Goal fest, Tom, coming in this mid-table tussle. Wolves in eighth, taking on Leicester City in ninth. It was 2-0 at half-time to Wolves, but Leicester City come bounding back into this match with two strikes. One first from Damari Gray, and then Harvey Barnes with the equaliser. But I can tell you that Wolves have just taken the lead again. They now lead 3-2 after 15 minutes of the second half, and it was the man that scored the first goal, Jota, has got a breakaway and a powerful left-footed finish that powered through Schmeichel in goal. He was helpless as the ball bustled past him into the back of the net. So there's still plenty of time remaining, 25 minutes in fact. It's Wolverhampton Wanderers 3, Leicester City 2.
Half time in the European Champions and Challenge Cups at the moment. Games underway in Pool 3. Cardiff Blues taking on Lyon. Lyon, the French team, leading that one by 2 points. It's 14-12 at half time, and loads of points in the other one. High flying Saracens in the Gallagher Premiership, at least. They're in a game. They are in a game against the Glasgow Warriors, who have been so impressive this season. It's Saracens 24, Glasgow Warriors 19. Over to the Challenge Cup for you, where the Worcester Warriors are being taught a lesson by Stade Francais at the moment. It's at Worcester, but Francais leading by 28 points to 14. And a close run thing down in the south of France, where Pope taking on the Ospreys. Just one converted try separating those two teams. It's 7-0 at half time to the French outfit. That's what's happening in the world of rugby. Let's go back to the cricket now, though, because we've got England down in the West Indies. Is that right?
We do indeed, yes. It's been a quiet time for England. They obviously had that very successful tour of Sri Lanka before Christmas. They've been back resting, and we know that they will kick off a test series down in the Caribbean, I think on the 23rd, which might be, when's that, about a week away?
Yeah, it's not far.
Next week away. Yeah. So they've been down playing warm-up matches. They've been getting prepared, getting ready for a big 2019 season, of course, for English cricket. They're in the Caribbean. They go home, the home nation, obviously the host nation of the next Cricket World Cup, which will be underway May and June. And then they have an Ashes series at the end of the summer, Tom. So it's a massive 2019 season for England. And it will be a fascinating time indeed. And are you hopeful with them getting a result in the Caribbean?
Again, just sort of depends which West Indies team turns up, isn't it? As you say, the first of the test matches will be on Wednesday at the Kensington Oval in Bridgetown. I am hopeful, given the form that they've been batting in, and also given the sort of mess that West Indies have been in recent times. I suppose the biggest concern, Arch, is going to be the England batting lineup, because with the retirement of a certain Sir Alistair Cook, amongst others as well, still a few question marks at the top of that order at the moment.
Yeah, the absence of Sir Alistair will leave a massive hole in that top order for England. They've struggled since Andrew Strauss retired. Yep. Strauss and Cook, which goes back probably a long time now, with Alistair Cook gone, I mean, they've really struggled to plug those gaps at the top of the English order. One man who might have to do a job is your good buddy, Johnny Bairstow. Let's just have a quick listen to his thoughts on this massive season for England cricket 2019. Johnny Bairstow.
It's a huge year. It's been spoken about for the last two or three years, hasn't it, 2019? And now to be here is, it's almost a bit surreal. You've obviously got this tour then to be being picked up in the IPL, to be going to the Hyderabad, to the Sunrise, is really exciting for me personally. I'm really, really excited about that. To then come back and have the one dayers and then the World Cup and then the Ashes to finish off, and then to finish the year with New Zealand and South Africa. I mean, there's plenty of air miles clocking up, but what an absolute year it is going to be. And there's chances for everyone to make some special memories over the next 12 months, and hopefully I can be a big part of that.
is Johnny Bairstow talking about the massive summer, well, just more than summer, it's two summers ahead, the massive year of 2019 for English cricket. We've talked about earlier in the show, Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship. Many of the good and the great of cricket have been down there. Freddie Flintoff, I know the guys have been chatting to him regularly. Nasser Hussain, former England captain, and Sir Alistair Cook himself. Alistair Cook's been given his thoughts on this English tour to the Caribbean to take on the West Indies, saying it's always difficult to win away from home now in any form of cricket. Mm. But he fancies England that they should have a decent chance. He would be surprised if they don't down there and get a positive result. Let's have a quick listen to Alistair Cook talking ahead of that English tour to the Caribbean.
Well, I think England go into it as favourites. I thought the way they played in Sri Lanka, the squad they got out there, even unfortunately Ollie Stone going on, they seem to have got a lot of bases covered. They can play three spinners. They want to play three spinners. They can, you know, play four seamers and still two spinners. They've got a lot of options. Trying to find the right options obviously be a challenge. You know, England do go in as favourites, but like anything, winning away from home in cricket is very tough. I don't think West Indies have lost. England have won once in 50 years, I think. So, but I would be surprised if England don't win.
From one former England captain to the current captain, Joe Root, very optimistic, had a great win away in Sri Lanka before Christmas, and now he's hoping to continue that form for England in the Caribbean. Let's have a quick listen to Joe Root.
We've seen on previous tours that we've been on, a number of the guys have come here and we found that it's very hard work to win in these conditions against West Indies, who've got a very good record at home. So even though we are playing extremely well and we've had a really good tour in Sri Lanka, we know that this will pose different challenges. We'll have to play slightly differently on these surfaces. And it'll be a great marker of where we are as a side. We've gone to Sri Lanka and performed well in those conditions. Can we back it up in different conditions? And can we show that we are versatile and that we are a side that is adaptable and growing all the time? So it'll be a great measure of where we are. And there's no reason why we can't do that. But we, as we did in Sri Lanka, have to play consistently well for three games.
But do you sense a real vibrancy around the side going into the warm-up games and ahead of this tour?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you'd be disappointed if it wasn't that case off the back of the way we've played recently. So it's been a brilliant 2 days, 4 days really. You know, the first two practice days, I think guys worked really hard as well. And it'd be really important that we back that up again with the next two.
England taking on the West Indies in the first of those test matches on Wednesday of next week. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will build up to our 7 o'clock kickoff. Manchester United, can they make it 6 on the trot under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? We'll be finding out. Brighton are their opponents. That's our feature match at 7.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.